Would you please stand with me as we read this morning from a very wise man? We're going to be reading Psalm 90 as well as a little bit in the book of James, but Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 6, it says, "A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, you mortals.' 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered." Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The half-brother of Jesus, James, says this in James 13 and 14, chapter 4. "Now listen to you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city to spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why don't you even know that what will happen tomorrow? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and it vanishes." Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather in this room. We come into this assembly of believers, this community of Jesus, recognizing that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of days, the creator of all things. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the prophets. You are the God of the Messiah. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this assembly this morning and that your Spirit would come upon this place. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch our eyes that we might see this morning, touch our hearts that we might heed the voice of God. Lord, we pray this for your glory. We pray this in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, and all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. You all may be seated. So welcome to summer, right? It's been a fun summer so far. I know some people are coming back from vacation, some people are leaving on vacations. It's been really fun, by the way. So I don't know if you've heard the rumor, but our youth pastor and his beautiful wife, Lauren, had a baby this last month. You probably have heard that, David and Lauren. And it's been really fun because, well, I mean, like, Cinda on Friday went over and got to hold the baby for 2 hours. Is that right? She's got a grin just looking on her face. It's been fun to watch Pastor David come in to core staff meetings on Tuesday with bloodshot eyes and yawning. Sending us text messages saying, "I just woke up, I'll be there in 10 minutes, you know? And we and Pastor Graham and Pastor Vin, we love it. We're teasing him and we're telling him, this is just for a season. He goes, "I got 4 hours of sleep left. It's just for a season, okay? It's okay. It's just for a season." And I got to be, so we're having a great time. We're enjoying this. And we're telling him it's time goes by so fast, right? So I hunted this picture down because this was when Sin and I were David and Lauren. That's when our little guy was keeping us up at night. That was number one. That's Jonathan. And so it reminds me of the days when I was the youth pastor here in the early 90s with my beautiful bride and having our son Jonathan, and then we had Jordan and Jeremiah, and I remember the days of walking around here, and those that are wiser than me, the older ones in the church would say, "Treasure the moments, Pastor Frank. The time goes by so fast." And I remember hearing the saints, the wonderful saints here, Dora Hess. Remember Dora Hess? And "Oh, Pastor Frank, treasure the moments. The time goes by so fast." And I'm thinking about the sleepless nights and the vomit that's everywhere. And she told me that, I don't know if you ever did this mistake, but I used to put my little one on top of my I would put him on the top of my neck, you know, and I'd hold his little hands. And I remember the day of the vibration on the back of my neck. And then this hot, warm material all over my neck as he blew out his diaper. And I'm thinking, I can't wait for this time to go by fast. Okay? Here's another one. I look at this picture. And as I look back on this picture, do you know what I say? Time went by fast. They were right. The Dora Hesses and the Shirley Coxes and those long ago when they were watching the youth pastor Frank and his wife Cinda, and they would tell us, Pastor Frank, treasure the moments because the time goes by so fast. They were right. They were right. How did they know that? Do you know why? Because they lived it. There was gray in their beard. They had walked this earth longer than me. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were talking about. Welcome to summer. Welcome to a series that we've been doing calling Following Jesus into the Summer. If we were to follow Jesus into June, July, and August, into the summer, you know, what would Jesus say to us as we were following him? What would he tell us? And we started this series the first Sunday of June, and as you know, summer takes on its own rhythms, doesn't it? Summer has this special feel to it. Kids are out of school, and family vacations become, and summer just takes on its own rhythms. And we were thinking, what would Jesus say to us if we were to follow him into the summer? What would he teach us? And so we started off the series by talking about how Jesus would tell us to stay on mission and to make sure to serve people and to stay focused on kingdom principles. The next week, we talked about rest. We believe that if you were to follow Jesus into the summer, that he would tell you to make sure you rest, that our God is a God of balance. And we struggle with balance in here. Slow down and breathe and let God be your rest. Jesus was a person that was always busy but never in a hurry. And he was a God of balance. We believe Jesus would tell you to make sure to have fun this summer. To find joy. Life is to be lived. God created life to be lived. God created life to be enjoyed. Make sure to find life this summer and enjoy this summer. You know, God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus says, my joy I give to you. The joy of the Lord. Jesus can't give you joy if he doesn't have it himself. The most joyful being in the universe is God. Is God. And he would tell you to enjoy the life that he's given you to live. So we talked about that one. And then last week we talked about peace. We believe if you were to follow Jesus in the summer, he'd say, make sure to find peace this summer. Find peace with you and God. Find peace with you and you. And find peace with you and other people as much as it's up to you. It's called shalom. It means peace. We thought it'd be good to end this series. What would Jesus tell us if we were to follow him into this summer? I believe Jesus would tell us to seek an eternal perspective as you enter into this summer. Jesus would tell us to number our days because time goes by so fast. It's always good to listen to people that are older than you, that are wiser than you. The Bible says to respect the beard, to respect those that have walked on this earth a bit more than you have because they have more life experience. You ought to listen to these people. Especially when they tell you, Pastor Frank, the time goes by so fast and treasure the moments. They're right. The scripture says to listen to people that are wiser than you, that have more life experience. Respect the gray that they have. This morning, we would do well to listen to a man who had a lot of gray in his beard. when he wrote Psalm 90. Moses. Moses is a very interesting individual. He had a very interesting life. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was the prince of Egypt. He probably lived a very fast-paced life as the prince of Egypt, living in the royal house, the politics of the age, the wealth, the gluttony, all of that was Moses's, right? And yet, at the age of 40, Moses got in trouble, and he ended up fleeing Egypt. And he spent the next 40 years of his life as a shepherd in the desert, the Midian. And if you think about the fast pace of being the prince of Egypt, have you ever seen a shepherd's life? They wake up early in the morning. The sheep are there. They watch the sun come up. They take them out to the fields, and the sun sets. Probably a little bit slower pace, wouldn't you say? I mean, talk about just an interesting life contrast of Moses. And at the age of 80, Moses sees a burning bush. At the age of 80, he sees a burning bush. Moses, take off your sandals, for you are walking on holy ground. I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've heard the cries of my people in Egypt, and I'm going to use you to get them out. And Moses becomes the deliverer of God's people. Moses becomes the one who says, let my people go. He becomes the one through whom God does miracles and signs and wonders, and through he leads the people of Israel out of Egypt and into the wilderness. Moses is the one that shepherds them. Moses is the one that wrote the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. Moses is the one who shepherds God's people that are rebellious, and they really tick off God if you've ever read the Torah. And when they started making images, golden calves, God says, I am not letting this generation into my promised land. They're going to die off, and I'm going to let their kids enter into my promises. But these people will not enter my land. And Moses didn't get to enter the land either. Most people believe that Moses, when he writes Psalm 90, is on a place called Mount Nebo, which is just outside. You can see it. It's in Jordan. If you come with me to Israel next year, we're going to do an Israel trip. If you want to go with me, sign up. You can go to the website or just ask about it. Every 2 years we do biblical study tours of the Holy Land. If I take you down to the Dead Sea and we look across the Dead Sea, we come through Jericho, we head a little bit south. And as you look across, you'll see the country of Jordan. And up on the right, there's a big mountain. That's Mount Nebo. And that's where they believe Moses was when he looked from this mountain out across. And he could see the Jordan River. He can see the Promised Land. And he's not allowed to go. And he's old. He's really old. This is probably one of the last writings Moses wrote. He might have been 100. He died at 120. He's really close to that when he writes this. And Moses is reflecting on God, on his life. He pleads for his people, for mercy. He's seen the old generation dying off and a new generation coming up. He knows that something awesome is about to take place. And he writes wisdom. Listen to this. Picture Moses sitting on a mountain, looking out across at the last days of his life. Notice where he starts. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Lord, Hebrew word Adonai, Adonai, you are a dwelling place. You are the refuge. You're the oasis in life, not just to the generation I shepherd, but to the next generations and the generations past. God is the God of all generations. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and into Joshua's age. God's our refuge. Well said, Moses, right? Listen. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world before that, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. God is eternal. From everlasting to everlasting. How long is everlasting? How long is everlasting? Does anyone know? That's long, isn't it? Everlasting. Before time, God was there. Do you know how difficult that is for you and I? You and I were born in time. You and I think in sequence. And then do you realize that God was with one day as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day? God is outside the realm of time. I remember years ago, this young kid who just first met Christ, and we were out surfing in between sets down at Old Man's, actually, a place in San Onofre. And he says, "Who made God, Pastor Frank?" What's the answer? Well, if you have an answer to it, then the next one is, well, who made God who made God? Or who made God who made God who made God? Or who made God who made God who made God? He isn't made. He always was. It just blows our mind. He's God. He's God. Eternal God. He's God. In comparison to God, who are we? Moses says, "You turn people back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, mortals.' 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dried and withered." In comparison to God, who are we? Who are you? You're mortal. You're a created being. And you and I are subject to the Eternal One, who alone has power over all His creation, including the life and death of human beings. People were dust. We were made from dust, according to Genesis, and we return to dust. In comparison to the eternity of God, our lifespan is compared to new grass. New grass. Did all you see the hills around us earlier this year with all the rains? Did y'all get a chance to see those beautiful hills? Did anyone see them? Weren't they gorgeous? Did you all see the rains in the hills of California this year? Amazing, right? And the poppies that were growing in the fields that was stopping traffic as people were trying to see the beautiful grass, right? That's a good picture. Have y'all seen the grass lately? Has anyone looked at the hills lately? What do they look like? Go look at them. They're brown. God says, compare your life to the hills. Here today and gone tomorrow. Here today and gone tomorrow. Moses in Psalm 90 compares your life and his to the changing of the hills and the seasons of a year. And how many of those did Moses see in 120 years? That's a lot, right? Listen to this. Isn't it interesting when James says, a businessman might be thinking tomorrow I'm going to go up and I'm going to go to this town and I'm going to make money. And James says, you don't even know how long you're going to live today or tomorrow. He says, your life is but a vapor that is here today, gone tomorrow. If the Lord wills, you live today, is what the half-brother of Jesus says. Moses says this, and it's a great thought. Ready? Moses says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. If you want to take notes this morning, I want you to, in your worship folder, take out that paper there, take some notes, and then just think this through and discuss it. Write this down. Time is a temporary limited resource. Did you all know that? Time is a temporary limited resource. And you only get so much time in your life. You only get so much time in your life. It's limited. It's not unlimited. You're not going to live forever in this body. You only have so much time. And no one knows how much time you have, right? We all have the same amount of time in each day, right? Do I have the same amount of time each day than you do? I get 24 hours a day. How many hours do you get? I get 24. Do you get 24? That means we all get the same amount of time each day. But how many days are we given? That one's a variable, isn't it? Time is a limited, temporary resource. When I was a brand new chaplain, one of my first calls out as a police chaplain was to a sweet couple in Woodbridge who, in the middle of the night, she passed away. Husband woke up the next morning and looked over at his wife, and she was gone. So 911, police come out, and they called for Chaplain Frank. And I showed up, and he was telling me that that last night they watched a movie together. They were eating popcorn. They were, you know, just a normal day, and da-da-da-da-da, and the next, and she's gone. And he wakes up the next morning and looks over at his wife, and she died in the middle of the night. He kept saying, I didn't know this was our last night together. I didn't know this was our last night together. And a part of me says, would you want to know? Would you want to know? I wouldn't want to know. Would you want to know? Do you want to know what your last day is? I wouldn't want to know. People, time is a temporary limited resource. And because this is true, Moses says in his awesome perspective of time, number your days because they go by so fast. The average lifespan in America is 78 years, 10 months, and 9 days. Did y'all know that? This is by no means a guarantee, and it's by no means a limit. But it's the average. The average American lifespan is 78 years, 10 months, and 9 days. So according to that, I have 24 years left to live before my ultimate retirement. 24 years. If you're here and maybe you just recently retired at 65, that would mean that you have 13 years left according to the average life expectancy. Maybe you're here today and you graduated college in 4 years and you're 21, and that would mean that you have 57 years left. And if you're here today and you are 80 years or older, congratulations, right? You beat the odds. Way to go, right? Way to go. Praise God, because life's a gift. The scripture says that numbering our days is an important exercise to do so that we get perspective and we learn to manage our time on what matters most. Jesus echoes this truth in Luke chapter 12. Jesus began telling this parable or this story. And it says this, he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, Jesus says. And so the rich man thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones. And there I'll store up for my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God, says Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ. This guy didn't number his days. He was short-sighted. He was He had misplaced priorities. Life isn't about money. If life's not about money, then what's life about? Do you know what it is? Relationships and people. Jesus says the number one commandment is what, people? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. To love God. And life's about relationships. Guess what you're taking to heaven? Not your Porsche. God, I love Porsches. Not your BMW. Not your Rolls Royce. Not your Bentley. Not your house. Not your beautiful house. Not your new tile that you put in. Your farmhouse sink isn't going with you to heaven, people. Do you understand? Your new cabinets isn't going. What goes with you? People. Relationships are what is important. People. People. We need to learn to number our days so that we will spend them on what matters most and not waste our time on things that are less important. Note number two, you are a manager of the time you've been gifted. You get to manage your time that you have here on earth. Life is a gift, and your time is a gift from God. So manage your time well. That's what the point is. If you were to walk with Jesus into the summer, I think Jesus would look at you at one point and say, you walking with me into the summer? Let me teach you something. Manage your time. Because your days, you only get so many summers. Do you think you're going to have endless summers? You do not get endless summers. You only get so many summers. And with that knowledge, manage your summers. Manage your summers. You only get a certain amount of time. Number your days. Note number three, we need to learn to manage our time and what matters most. What matters most? God, family, friends, people, the kingdom, VBS matters, missions matter, eternal destiny matters. Question this morning, just for one for you to ask yourself. What would your life look like if you learned to number your days? What would your life look like if you learned to number your days? Would it look different than the life you're living now? What would your schedule look like if God was in charge of your schedule? It's been said that the two most spiritual books in a person's life is their Bible and their calendar. The Bible is where we get instruction and wisdom from God, and it is our calendar where we live it out. People, our lives are a product of our schedules. And let me say that again. Our lives are a product of our schedules. Our calendars, our schedules is a holy document. Because it reflects what our priorities are all about. If you were to number your days and allow God to be in charge of your calendar and invest your time in what matters most, what would your schedule look like? Would it be different than today? Here's an exercise I want you to take home. And the rest of these notes, you just get to fill them out at random in prayer. But I have down my schedule. If you were to number your days, and if you were to allow God to be in charge of your schedule, what would you add to your schedule that you're not doing? What are the things that are important that you need to do that you're not doing? For example, when Jesus says, be rich towards God, what does that mean? Let me say this, very, very important. You need to listen to Jesus. And I say this, any person that can raise from the dead has got to know something that you don't. You ought to listen to him. He's smarter than you, and he knows what he's talking about. You ought to listen to Jesus. There was a time in Galilee when Jesus was doing all these miracles. And the people in the crowds would say, Jesus, what works must we do to do the works of God? Clearly, you got something going for you by walking on the water at the time. What can we do? What are the works of God that we need to do? And listen to what Jesus says. John 6, 28 and 29. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in him who he has sent. The work of God is for you to believe on the one whom God has sent. If you're here today and you're not rich towards God, what makes you rich towards God is accepting Jesus into your life and what he did for you on the cross. This is the work of God, to believe in the one whom God sent. Well, what do I need to believe about the one whom God sent? Jesus came on the cross and died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. Jesus came and made you who was not holy, holy, on behalf of Almighty God, so that God can be with you, because God cannot dwell with anyone who's not holy, because you would pollute his very nature and being. Jesus came to wash you clean and wash you new and take away all your shame and guilt before a holy God. You will not be rich towards God until you accept the one whom God has sent, Jesus Christ. And in him, is the message of last week, you have a whole new identity. The work of God is not to do push-ups for the Lord. You don't need to go to Mecca. You don't need to pray five times a day bowing toward the east. You accept the one whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, you've been imputed righteousness. That's the work of God. If you're here today and you're still trying to figure out Jesus, you need to write a plus. You need to take a hard look at Jesus. You need to read the Gospels. You need to read the four biographies of Jesus. You need to meet this being. There's a young man right now that I'm discipling who's not yet a believer, and he's just reading the Gospels. I'm like, just read the Gospels, and then let's talk about Jesus. If you're here today, come on, man. Jesus is the most influential person in human history. You all need to read him at least. Just read him, and you come to your conclusion. You're an intelligent person. Read Christ. If you're here today and you're learning to number your days and you're realizing that someday you're going to die, you better prepare for that. And y'all better hang out with Jesus, because he has a lot to say about that day when you breathe your last. So you need, I would put a plus in there. Take a hard look at Jesus. If I'm going to number my days, I better take a hard look at this guy. Better spend some time trying to figure him out. Maybe you're here today and you're not spending time with the Lord. You meet him and know him, spend time with him. Maybe you don't even have a quiet time. It doesn't take that hard in the early morning to take 10 or 15 minutes and quiet your heart and pray and open the scriptures and study and just ask for wisdom that day. Maybe you're not doing that. Maybe you're to write that in. Maybe you're here today and you're spending zero time with your wife or your children or your husband. Maybe you're here today and you are just out of bounds, and there's things you need to start doing. Think about this, and when you think about them, add them in. Hey, you know what? David and Lauren aren't getting very good date nights right now. FYI. Their whole life's been rocked. Do you remember those days? The marriage gets put on a shelf, and that little baby just doesn't sit there and go, you know, I think you and Dad need some alone time. I'll just sit here in my poopy diaper. It's no problem. It's cool. They don't do that. If there's ever a time when they have to schedule date nights, it's now. Am I right? See the gray? It's true. What do you need to add to your schedule? If you were to number your days, what things should you add on your schedule that you're not doing? How about this one? Minus. What are some things that you're doing that you need to just take off the schedule? Or maybe, who do you need to take off the schedule? What are the things that you're doing that's just a waste of time? You only have a limited amount of it. Pastor Frank hates postmarital counseling. You all know that, right? I like premarital. I don't like postmarital. Remember counseling this couple, newlywed, had a baby, they're fighting. And every Friday night, he likes to go shoot pool with his friends. And he says, well, I did. When I married her, that was his words. Imagine saying that to your wife. When I married her, I wasn't giving up my friends. I have every right to go shoot pool on Fridays with my buddies while she's home alone with the baby. Guess how their marriage is doing? Over. Foolish. What are things on your schedule that you need to get rid of? Billy Graham says that the good is the eternal enemy of the best. You might be doing good things, but you need to get those off your schedule because they're interfering with the best. I have there a less sign. What do you need to do less of? What do you need to do less of, people? What do you need to do less of? You need to keep doing it, but you need to do less of it. Like maybe being a workaholic. If you're a workaholic in here, you don't quit your job, right? But you need to refocus your life on what's important. Spending 80 hours in the office or more is not a good move. That's not numbering your days. You've got to find balance. Maybe you need to take time off. The family's suffering. Hold up your cell phone. Who's got your cell phone? Hold it up. There they are. There they are. Hold them up high. There they are. Do you know what that is? Technology. Does technology bless your life? Yes. Hey, guys, how many times have you been at a restaurant and you look and the whole family's on their phone? Have you seen that? Because I see it all the time. I told this story a few weeks ago. I'm at the park and there's this dad with his son. And his son has got a little soccer ball and his dad's on his phone. And I, with all my restraint, I'm like, I wanted to yell at him, turn that stupid thing off. Life is happening right before you. You're missing it. Get off your phone. Doggone it. And the kid just wants to play ball with his dad. And there's his, turn it off. Number your days. You only get so many. What do you need to take off or do less of? Technology does not bless family relationships. Do I hear an amen? You better balance these things. If you're going to number your... I've yet to meet someone on their deathbed going, I wish I was on my cell phone more. Never met that person. What do you need to take off? And how about, lastly, what do you need to do more of? You're doing it, but you need to do more of it. Like time with God. Maybe you need to do more Sabbaths of rest. Maybe you need to read scriptures more. Maybe you need to spend more time with your family, more time with your kids. You need to spend, Pastor Frank, we went on a marriage, we went on a date night 6 months ago. Good for you. When's the next one? Maybe you need to schedule those more. Serving in the church. Serving in the church, serving God. This last week I was looking back on old pictures and I found this picture of my friend Don Nordstrom. How many people in here remember Don? Don Nordstrom, we did a big guy, little guy camping trip, I think it was 2003, up at Moabe State Park, and Don came. Don Nordstrom, if you don't know him, he was a man that was on this leadership team at this church for years. The building that you're sitting in today, a big part of this is because of the hard work that Don did. Don was an executive at a company, very successful man financially, was always serving the Lord in his church, always serving the Lord in his church. One day Don was driving down the freeway and had a massive heart attack. His wife and his two grandkids were in the back seat of his car. And he hit the brakes and he pulled over to the side on the freeway and slumped over and he died. I talked policeman, Orange County Sheriff that pulled up said that his leg was so stiff on the brake pedal that they had to jimmy him out because his last dying act was saving his wife and his grandchildren in a car accident. He was gone. And he's in the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you about my friend Don Nordstrom. He knew how to number his days. He lived his life. He was rich towards God. He served the Lord. He always had an eternal perspective. He's a good man. We were just talking on our leadership team was last Tuesday night. We were sitting around. We were just praying for Reggie Donas. When you see Reggie Donas, would you give him a hug? He did a great job, 6 years serving. And we just came around him and praised God for thank you so much for serving the Lord this day. And we began talking about the Tom Wellses and the Don Nordstroms and those. We stand on the backs of giants, of people that were wise in how they approached and lived life and how they loved God and loved people and loved the community, the Jesus community of the church. And they were awesome people. What do you need to do more of? If you were to give God to be in charge of your calendar, what would it look like? If you were to learn to sit back and go, you know, that's probably true. I probably should number my days. I'm not going to live forever. I need to be wise in managing my time with an eternal perspective. If you were to do that, what would your life look like? What do you need to add to your schedule? What do you need to take away? What do you need to do more of? What do you need to do less of?
Less TV and more Bible reading.
Preach it, sister. Get up here. No, I'm kidding. Think about this. It's the summer, people. It's the summer, right? If you're going to follow Jesus into the summer, I know Jesus would tell you, man, stay on mission. Stay focused. I know that Jesus would tell you, make sure that you rest this summer. Go on a family vacation. Spend some time breathing. Have a Sabbath. Focus on the Lord. Breathe. Think of God. Have rest with the Lord. Jesus says, my rest I give you, not this world. Rest in Christ. Learn how to find balance in your summer. Okay? Learn to have fun this summer. Enjoy the life that God's given you to live. The strength of the joy of the Lord should be your strength. God would tell you, man, enjoy each day that I've given you to live in Him. Enjoy this day. Live it. Be grateful. Be thankful. This is the day, right? What would Jesus tell you? He would tell you to seek peace. As Harrison Ford last week, someone asked Harrison Ford, man, with all this had, what do you still want in your life? He says, peace. Are you a person of peace? Do you have peace? Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with each other? Be a person of peace. Seek peace this summer. Seek shalom, peace. And lastly, if Jesus was here today, he would tell you this. Number your days, because you don't get to be here forever. You don't get endless summers. Number your days. Be wise with your time. Be wise with your time. Think with an eternal perspective. Moses says this. Moses tells us this. Listen to a wise man. Listen to a wise man. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Who are we? Moses. You turn people back to dust. Can you imagine a 120-year-old man saying that? He's feeling it. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you're mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it's dried and withered. Because all this is true, Moses says this: teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom. Jesus, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Help my brothers and sisters in this room this morning and those that are watching on live streaming. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak into our hearts about this. Don't let us be foolish in thinking that this is just how it's going to be forever. God, help us to realize that time is a resource and we need to manage it well. Our life is a gift. We need to manage it well. God, help us to be people of balance. Help us to be people of priorities. God, help us to figure out what life is all about. Teach us this, Lord. And then help us to implement this into our calendars so that we might be wise in life. Teach us, Lord, how to build our lives on what matters most, especially as we follow you into this summer. This we pray in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.